Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Happy New Year. Season's greetings. We are returning for our first show of 2024. Hope everyone's doing well. Mark, pleasant evening. How are you doing over in Nuremberg?
Yeah, not bad at all. Yeah, it's about -5 here though in Franconia, Bavaria. So it's pretty damn cold. It's really biting cold out there as well at the moment. Yeah, looking forward to the English battle of the teams as well later on between Wigan and Man United. Obviously, we saw last year Stuttgart versus Nuremberg. So hopefully Wigan can do a job on United tonight.
It would not surprise me at all. Yeah, that would be a hard one to take, sure. Yeah, no, well, we're back. Obviously, tonight we're doing a bit of a Rook Runder preview slash kind of show of what teams have done so far and what they maybe need to improve on. We might kind of throw in a few snippets of what major position they kind of want to sign that would make an impact for the rest of their season. So a bit of a fun show coming up, and then obviously we'll be back into normal routines from Thursday with the prediction show and so on and so forth. Hopefully a bit of fantasy football for you all as well. So yeah, sit back, enjoy with us. Of course, if you can leave a thumbs up, that'd be delightful. A like for the first show of the season. If we can push up to 15 or 20 likes, that'd be magical. Comment along if you're watching live with us. Let us know your thoughts on your team's performances, if you agree or disagree with our little categories that we've got going on in a bit. Of course, if you can subscribe as well, that'd be delightful, and enjoy all the content that we have for you this year and beyond. And of course, please, if you can do, leave a rating and a review on podcasts. We really enjoy all our different kind of listeners. Of course, we did a little bit of a poll on Twitter or X just to see what you guys are really thinking in terms of how you like to absorb this particular type of show. So really appreciate people who took the time to comment and vote on that. We're probably going to keep going on both formats, YouTube and podcasts for this particular Monday show. But yeah, fantastic stuff. Thank you for all getting involved in that. And so just before we get going, Mark, unfortunately we've got a bit of sad news to get ourselves kickstarted for the year. Obviously the breaking news in, well, the last few hours that we've been aware of, but the news that Franz Beckenbauer passed away very recently, obviously age 78, German legend of the game, one of the best to ever do it, really. As English lads, even we can appreciate that, the greatness the player was in the shape of Franz Beckenbauer. I'm sure you'll share those well, our commiserations, Mark, won't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Over here in Germany, Der Kaiser, like they used to call him, obviously, yeah, one of the greats of all time. Yeah, I think in terms of player, obviously, I never saw him watch. I'm not that old, but like, yeah, he basically was one of the greatest of all time. Like the sweeper position was known as his own, and obviously played in that 1966 final as well, that famous final. He won World Cups of his own. He won just about everything with Bayern Munich, and then obviously went on to be one of the directors at the club as well. Yeah, that probably wasn't the finest period of his career, but I think his playing time was absolutely second to none, and he definitely goes down as one of the greats over here in Germany. There's no question about that, and we're all sad to see him go.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, lots of tributes going on as we speak on social media and everywhere. So yeah, absolutely rightly so. Some really nice videos been put together as well. So when you've got a spare moment, you've got to go onto social media and have a little look. I think Derek Ray's doing something on BBC Scotland tonight as well around Franz Beckenbauer and on ESPN for our American viewers. So yeah, definitely tune into that and hear the thoughts of Derek as well. But yeah, we don't want to linger on that too much. Of course, we're really excited about the Bundesliga being back. We start on Friday with Bayern hosting Hoffenheim. So that, you know, looks to be a really exciting game. Of course, we'll be predicting those weekend results to come. But into the main bulk of our show anyway. So we'll see how long it takes us to get through this. Hopefully, we'll sum it up in a nice kind of segment of time. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of summarize all 18 teams in terms of four different categories. So we've got major improvement needed, improvement needed, on target, and overachievers. So obviously, as you can tell, you know, those four categories, the first two for teams that haven't done so well, you know, so far this season, and that will need to make improvements. Those that are on target in terms of their season objectives, and those that are really smashing it. So me and Mark will start off with the the kind of more major improvement needed. Happy New Year to you as well, Nicholas. Thank you for tuning in. So Mark, I think we've got a couple of dead certs in here, haven't we? So I'll let I'll say our first dead cert, and we've got we've got Union Berlin in there, haven't we, right now? And it's been a torrid Hinrunde for them. You know, lots of poor performances and maybe some poor decisions in the end from a transfer perspective. So you know, it's quite clear that Union for the second half of the season need to really push away from that, you know, that relegation zone, which seemed probably unthinkable at the start of this season, considering their Champions League debut and things like that. So what are your thoughts on Union? What do they need to do to improve? And then we can say what position they might need to sign this January if they can do.
Yeah, I think Union Berlin, obviously under new coach Bielitsa, who himself wasn't the most kind of high profile appointment after the very unfortunate dismissal of Urs Fischer in November. But yeah, I mean, what can you say? It was just a transfer window ended up being a complete nightmare, didn't it? Basically, they wanted to try and make a Champions League squad for the first time in the history. You know, for all the time, Union Berlin had been known as a kind of grafting team with some kind of unfashionable players who just got results together, didn't they? But in came the likes of Gosens, in came the likes of Bonucci, who is by far the highest profile player ever to play for Union Berlin. I can guarantee you that. You know, the likes of Fofana, who's highly rated from Chelsea on loan. Folland as well, who did improve towards the end of the Hinrunde, but for long periods he was below par as well. You know, Aronson came Toussaint, there's been so many and none of them have done well, basically. And not only have they not done well, but they seem to have upset the ship, basically, in Union Berlin. And that's one of the big problems. You know, we're probably going to see the end of Bonucci. He's already been linked to a move to Genoa in Serie A. I think Fofana is also linked with the end of his playing spell in Union. Both of them had disciplinary problems with Urs Fischer. And it doesn't seem to have improved under Bielitsa either. So, as you can see, things are really, really worrying for them. But to be fair, on a positive note, they did win the last two home games of the Hinrunde. They beat Gladbach impressively before easily beating FC Köln as well. So, yeah, I think there are kind of, you know, bright rays on the horizon for them that they will just about manage to retain the Bundesliga status. But yeah, it was a dreadful Hinrunde. Probably before the last three games, it was even worse. They were rock bottom with 13 games gone, so it could have been even worse. As things stand, you know, they're on 13 points from 15 games with four wins. Basically what they need for me, they need squad harmony again. That's what they need. They need to get rid of the bad apples. Even if some of them are on big money and, you know, they make losses, they need to get rid of them. They need to cut the losses there. And maybe a few loan signings would help. I don't think they need any major transfer business because they've already made a big loss this season at the end of the day. The Champions League campaign didn't go to plan. They only got, what was it, 1 point, two, was it 1 point or 2 points from the campaign? I think 2 points. So that meant they finished bottom, so there'll be no European football after Christmas for them. So it's just about staying up for them now, basically. They probably need better defenders, but You say that, but their defense was one of the best in the league last year. You know, the likes of Duki, Diego Leita, who hasn't built on a really, really good loan season last year since he made his move permanent. They just need to get that Union fighting spirit back, really. I think they will be okay if they do that. Whether Bielica is the right man, I'm still not sure, to be honest. I would be tempted to go in for someone like a Stefan Baumgart. You know, I really would. But it's not going to happen now because he is on a permanent contract, Bielica. But someone like a Stefan Baumgart would be absolutely perfect for Union Berlin. I believe that. But it's not going to happen this season, I don't think. But maybe looking ahead to next year, they need a more stable head coach and just go back to basics, Union Berlin.
Yeah, so yeah, we're saying a major, well, the major signing we want for Union is squad harmony. Everyone wants a bit of harmony. So yeah, Union maybe just need to go back to basics, like we were saying a couple of shows before the Christmas break. And yeah, maybe some defensive reinforcements. Dueki coming back will be a really big benefit for them as well. That would be interesting for them. Also in major improvement, I think we also have, well, we've got FC Köln, you know, real trouble at, you know, at the Billy Goats, for the Billy Goats rather, at the moment, Mark, you know, if we're talking about what major signing or position they need to target, well, they need to be able to sign players for a start, obviously with the transfer ban being upheld, which, you know, is really bad news for them as a club. And from a squad perspective, they can't do anything. You know, all over the pitch, that, you know, I think needs tweaks and improvements. Obviously, the sad news, which was confirmed about Baumgart leaving the club. There's not much to smile about if you are a Billy Goats fan right now. So, Mark, I mean, yeah, terrible Hinrunde. Obviously, major improvements need to be made in the Rückrunde. How do they go about this? Are we talking about, do they simply just need a bit of a miracle here? I mean, obviously, no one's written off by any stretch, but they've got so much work to do, and with, well, little resources to be able to fund it, basically.
Yeah, I think they just need to start praying to the gods and hope for a miracle, basically, because, I mean, I tipped it. I think me and you tipped it, Rory, or I convinced you about it at the beginning of the season that they are going to go down, because the squad just didn't impress me. That where are the goals? Where are the goals in that squad? Somebody tell me, you know? And I just think Davy Selke, I mean, anyone who watches this show on a regular basis knows my opinion on him. He's just not good enough, in my view. And Tigges makes him look like prime Benzema or something. I'm not even sure Tigges has scored in the last decade, yet alone the last year, to be honest. So, yeah, it's just not good. Kainz, the loss of form of Kainz has been untimely as well, with the fact they couldn't sign any players. I think, you know, Köln would have at least thought that, okay, we have a good playmaker in the side with Kainz. He's completely gone off the boil. Minor just doesn't do it on a regular basis. I don't know why the likes of Adamian have never been given more of a run, to be honest. I think, you know, it's just not a very good team. It's as simple as that. Waldschmidt, he shows quality sometimes, but again, it's just not consistent, is it? Like, I remember he played that brilliant derby against Gladbach, and then since then, he's just gone missing, basically. Yeah. So it's just not good enough at the end of the day. It's a big club, FC Cologne, you know, a really big club. We want them to stay in the Bundesliga because this is the kind of club what the Bundesliga is all about, ultimately. You know, fantastic fan support, follow the team up and down the country every week. But yeah, what do they need? Basically, the first thing they need is to beg that this transfer ban is overturned, and or at least they can sign a few loan players. I remember at one stage they were linked with Moukoko as well from Dortmund, who that would be the kind of signing that could maybe breathe a bit of life into them. But I think with this squad, they literally need a miracle. If they can't sign anyone to this squad, they need a miracle, basically. Yeah. Yeah, they need Kainz to come back into form. I think if there's one positive you can see from Köln, it's the fact that the centre-half partnership is quite good. Szabo and Hubers. have done quite a lot to impress me in recent times. And also Schwaber has come back into form this season, ironically, as well. So that there are a few positives, but there's just no quality in the squad. There's no playmaker there at all. Tell me one playmaker for this FC Köln side. I think it's meant to be Waldschmidt and Kainz, but they've just not done it this season. So if you don't have any flair in your squad, then what hope have you got, basically? So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. So, yeah, forward creativity needed for FC Köln. But, yeah, at the moment, that's not likely to be happening. Even in Ballon, the Bundesliga is back. Yeah, absolutely. We're thrilled that it's back on Friday. So, I hope you're enjoying the show with us. So, I think this is where it gets slightly more grey area. Or I think we had one more team as fairly nailed on that needs a bit more. Well, that needs major improvement is Mainz. Obviously, again, they've had a struggle of the season so far. Obviously, it's not quite gone to plan. And if you look at the attacking talent that they did have last season and that they still have, it was really it has been a shock to see the goals that just haven't been going in for them. Mentioned them right before going live, the likes of Azurk, Nisiwo, Burkhardt is now, great that he's back from injury, but he's got to hit the ground running. All these players, Nelson Viper, who's been injured ultimately, but, they're four really good names to pick out from a talent perspective, but they just haven't scored any goal. So they need to pick up and they need to pick up fast because, for all their good work last season, they're really in a big mess right now and they need to dramatically get up that table as quickly as possible.
Yeah, they are. They really are in a mess. But I'm a little bit more optimistic about for them than some of the other sides around. Because I think performance-wise, they've been good, really. I think since Sievert came in, really, if you look at the XG, they've been getting well over 2.5, even 3.5 in some games. But as you say, that the proverbial onion bag just hasn't been bothered by the ball. Basically, that's the problem for them. And I think a big major point to that is Ajok. I mean, he's a player that we talked up massively well last season, really massively. I thought he might even get a move to a bigger Bundesliga team, to be honest. I was that impressed with him at times last season. But like this year, he's just not done it. I think he's only got one, maximum two goals. Mainz have only won one game, which was ironically against RB Leipzig as well. And they're just not winning those 6 points. They're not finding a way to get goals in games. And unless they start doing that, they will be down there all season. But part of me, there's something that tells me they will get away from it quite comfortably, though, Mainz. I don't think they'll finish in the bottom three. For some reason, I just think the performances are there for me. There is quality in that side, especially in the midfield. And I think they will start to get wins eventually. And I think they'll finish, fifth or sixth bottom. I do believe that in the end.
Yeah. So do we think a striker is a bit of a kick up the backside would be good for Mainz or maybe another position? Let us know in the comments if you've got any other ideas. So I think that pretty much rounds us up for major improvement needed. There might be a few that me and Mark are in disagreement about, or if you're in disagreement about them as well, please do let us know. So this is kind of like the ether between, so improvement needed sides as well. One that we're not so sure on is Wolfsburg. I think naturally they're definitely within one of these two categories. Obviously, looking at the table in 10th place with a fairly fresh squad once again, which is often the case with Wolfsburg. But, just from a performance perspective, they're too easy to down tools. Obviously, Kovac is under major pressure. He always often is. If you take out Jonas Vind's goals and performances, they're really struggling from a goal scoring perspective. And they've lost more games than Mainz have. They're just obviously fortunate that they have the ability to win games based on their talent more often than not. So, Mark, what are we needing from Wolfsburg this ruck run? We need consistency from a start, don't we?
Yeah, and probably a new coach as well, unfortunately. I think it's just I think last season you thought there were moments when Niko Kovac was really going to get something going for Wolfsburg, you know, and especially around this time last year, actually. I remember they beat Wolfsburg 6-0 and then they went to Hertha Berlin and won 5 or 6 as well. And at that point, you were thinking, wow, this team is cantering, you know. But to be fair, they have been unlucky with injuries. They've lost Lucas Nemecha, obviously the striker brother. He's been out for long periods. He was a good player. Obviously, Felix left the club on a permanent, and obviously Van de Ven also left. I mean, Van de Ven has been tearing it up in England as well, so he was clearly the player that we all thought he was last year. But I just think there's too much changing, too much tweaking. It's almost like Kovac has like a miracle idea, but he just never gets the right decisions. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, and I think he's not a terrible coach, Kovac, but it's just not working out for him there. And crowds are dwindling a little bit. The fans just don't seem to be, you know, impressed by what's going on. And there's not much atmosphere in the Volkswagen Stadion at the moment, which is disappointing by Bundesliga standards. You know, we're used to massive packed out 50, 60, 70,000 seater stadiums, even in the second league. Meanwhile, Wolfsburg can barely fill a 20,000 seater. So it's disappointing, really, to see that from a Bundesliga perspective. But as for what's happening on the pitch, the players just aren't doing enough. I think, obviously, Maier, the Croatian international, was brought in for big money. He's not really done it at all, even though he keeps getting picked for every game. Svanberg is in and out of form. He was another big money sign, I think, last year. Myler, even, you know, the star of Euro 2020, has just not really done it at wing back, even though everyone thought he would do. A lot of this could be because there's no proper style of play and no real starting lineup there that everybody knows. The players are confused. They don't know where they stand. Like, 1 minute they're on the bench for 5 games, next they're on the pitch for 3, and then they're back on the bench. And it's just not good at Wolfsburg. They're losing too many games. 9 defeats is pretty woeful, in truth, for a team of their quality. Because this is a really, really expensively assembled squad as well. Don't forget that, guys. This is like, I think, the 4th or the 5th most expensive squad in the Bundesliga. So really, you'd say minimum European places from this squad, but they're not even close to it at the minute. And yeah, basically, I would say a new coach is what they really need more than anything.
There you go. Yeah, new coach. Yeah, I think firepower. Well, they were linked to Sasa Kalajdzic before, obviously, his move to Frankfurt was confirmed. So, you know, they're clearly of that kind of thinking. And rightly so from them. Another team that we had kind of erring between these two sections was Borussia Dortmund, who have had a tricky season from a Bundesliga perspective anyway. It's not gone right for them. They're not scoring as freely as they have traditionally always done, especially whilst we've been doing the show. Haller and Füllkrug right now aren't quite doing the business as they would like. There's question marks around Daniel Marlon. Sounds like he's changed agents quite recently. It looks like he's, if they can get the Jadon Sancho deal over the line, it might be a winter move for him. Lots going on at Dortmund at the moment. Mark, what again, 6 points off the top four, as you rightly said, when we were talking offline, that's pretty unprecedented for a Dortmund side. They're really struggling. Although they've only lost 3 games, it's those draws that are really hurting them and their inability at the moment to kill off games.
Yeah, not enough goals, not enough wins. It's just, it's been a strange season for them, because I don't want to be too critical on them, because, you know, I know a lot of people are talking about Terzic being fired and things if they don't go through to at least the semis of the Champions League. But I think they should stick with Terzic for a while. I really do. I do believe they should have won the league. Let's not forget that. We should be talking about Dortmund this season as title winners. Everybody knows that. They were the best team over the Bundesliga season last year, but they just couldn't quite get over the line. And this season has been poor, but let's be honest, the Hinrunde was poor last year as well. Let's not forget that. And then they just hit an absolute train in the Rückrunde, and, you know, they should have won the league. Nobody would have said this time last year they would be anywhere near winning the title. So let's not get too down on Terzic at the minute, but there are problems, there's no doubt about that. The first one is that, like, Marlon hasn't played enough. Obviously, I think there are issues behind the scenes. they need to get that sorted, because Marlon should be on the pitch every game for this team. There's no question about that. As should Adeyemi for me. I know that's a bit controversial because his form hasn't been great at times, but for me, Adeyemi or Bino Gittens, and it's Adeyemi all day of the week if he's fully fit. I know he's been in and out of fitness a little bit, but he needs more game time. And then I think, yeah, basically they have similar problems to Union Berlin. A lot of the summer signings just haven't worked out, with the exception of Füllkrug, who I think has actually done well. Although he's not the kind of guy that's going to get the goals that like a Lewandowski or a Haaland or a Aubameyang of the past would have got. He's still done well in that number nine position. But I think Sabitzer has been a massive disappointment. I've got to say he's not been very good in my eyes. Ben Zabaini has been an even bigger disappointment. He's just not got going at all for me and just keeps making mistakes. He's had at least one red card, maybe two. And then, yeah, Hummels keeps getting picked every week. And, yeah, I just don't see what he's all about nowadays, really, Mats Hummels. I would be sticking Süle alongside Schlotterbeck, personally. But, yeah, I just think his team lineups has not been very good. But I still think it can get better. It's not all doom and gloom, because we have seen in Europe how they can play. And if they can start translating that into the Bundesliga, they'll finish top four easy. But, you know, they've got to get it going quite quickly in the Rupp Runder, I think.
They do, yeah. They need to hit the ground running 100%. Yeah, we'll see about that. Two other teams that we've got in the region of needing improvement are Gladbach and Werder, who are nicely nestled together in 12th and 13th spot, you know, separated by 1 point, won the same amount of games, pretty similar to each other and mirrored in a lot. I think obviously the one stark difference from a Gladbach perspective is that they're, well, even more exciting to watch potentially than Werder were last season as well, with the goals that they're scoring and the games that they're involved in, really high scoring draws all the time. So it's probably for Gladbach the old proverbial consistency mark, you know, maybe tightening up. Definitely tightening up that back line, having conceded 35 goals in 16 matches. So definitely not ideal from that perspective. So, we're just looking at consistency level needed for Gladbach, and they'll win a lot more games than they lose if they shut up shop a bit more regularly. And then for Werder, obviously they've got, a good attacking duo of Rafa Boré and Dusk up front. They've got the wing backs who have always been quite impressive since being back in the Bundesliga. But maybe just at the heart of their team, Werder are slightly more where that improvement could be needed, for myself anyway. What are your thoughts just on both sides who are in that kind of similar sort of area at the moment?
Yeah, I think for both of these teams, it's been more results rather than performances that have been concerning. Not massively concerning, but I think both of these teams, as you say, the fans are entertained, absolutely, especially Gladbach fans who have been, you know, they're averaging almost two goals a game for a team that are well into the bottom half of the league, which I'm pretty sure only the Bundesliga can offer that level of team that are not up in the top six, basically. But I think for me with Gladbach, that last game before the break when they were 1-0 up at Frankfurt and then they got a red card and then they conceded two in extra time, for me that sums up their season in many ways. I think there's been more positives and negatives performance-wise, but it's just that defence. They're not going to the grain. They're not defending well. And it was actually Werber in this case who got the second yellow and they just fell apart after that. And that's pathetic, really, in some ways, to lose that game from being in such a comfortable position. I mean, even if you draw, you're still annoyed, but to lose it, that's just not okay, you know. And I think Seoane, they've got to stick with him, though, really. Stick with Seoane. Don't fire him, because I think he's a really good coach, and he could go on to be a great Gladbach coach for me. But it might be a case that this season for them is just, like, experimental a little bit, and they might go for Europe again next year, but they're still in the cup as well with a good draw. Well, I say a good draw against a team that knocked out Bayern and Frankfurt. Yeah. But at the end of the day, they should be able to beat them. And, you know, it could still be an exciting season for Gladbach. And all I could say to them is keep with Seoane, because I do believe good things are around the corner with him. But for Werder, I would say the same, really, in many ways. Stick with Oli Werner because, you know, he has... I read an interesting article that Werder Bremen had lost the joint most games in a top five league in 2023. They lost about 23 matches. So, clearly, they are losing too many games. They're not defending very well, but it's still good to watch. The fans are happy and they're back in the Bundesliga. They're not going to bother Europe anytime soon, but stick with him and just keep enjoying watching your team play entertaining games, I would say.
Yeah, some good thoughts there. I think, yeah, Gladbach, maybe a bit of defensive reinforcement would be most welcome, and maybe Werder similarly, or maybe a CDM as Leinen, and Naby Keita's barely been on the pitch, hasn't he? And then one other team that we've kind of got in the improvement needed, although it feels a bit harsh putting them there, is Darmstadt. Naturally, they're struggling this season. So far, Mark, obviously sitting at the foot of the table with 10 points, with two wins and four draws and the rest losses. I think it's just a step up. It was always going to be a real hard challenge for them as a football club. You could almost put them being overachievers in the sense that they're in the Bundesliga full stop. Like, in theory, they shouldn't even, be in the Bundesliga in that sense. Such a small club in kind of German stature point of view, but they're, they've played a part in loads of really entertaining matches. Naturally, they're struggling with the goal scoring and of course keeping the ball out of the back of the net, two rather important things. Obviously we want to see Darmstadt as a team improve, and from a performance point of view, maybe just neaten up in a few areas, and that creativity is something that they're lacking, of course. Their forward players, the likes of Malem have done well. Pfeiffer coming in had an okay start, but he's dropped off a little bit. They're struggling in that area. Mark, I mean, there's not much more to be said, I guess, for Darmstadt. They've just got to try and ride the wave and enjoy being in the Bundesliga. But naturally, I guess they'll be seeing what snippets, maybe what Zweite Bundesliga players could be going in January to try and snatch up and see if they can make a big step up, perhaps.
Yeah, at the end of the day, they're still in with a chance of staying up. They're level on points with third from bottom and only 3 points from overall safety. So it's far from all loss. As you say, I mean, their expectations were so low for this team. I can't ever remember a team that came into the league with lower expectations than Darmstadt, to be honest. Like, I think they were on everybody's list for 18th place, and that's exactly where they are at the moment. But it's not been all doom and gloom by any means. They've given the fans some really good moments, and I love that performance against Hoffenheim in the last game of the, before the break. That's the kind of performance they need to show if they want to have a chance of staying up. As you say, I agree with you, Rory, that look at the Zweite Liga and see if there's a few like gems you can get in there for a small amount of money. Prepare yourself potentially for a shot again at coming back up next season, and try and stay up. It's going to be very hard, and I don't think they'll do it. I don't think they've got much chance at all, but they've not been bad, and there's been great moments along the way. It's a packed out house every week. Lieberknecht is another character for the Bundesliga to have, and I've enjoyed them. I've enjoyed having them in the Bundesliga, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Same here. So, yeah, we will see what happens with Darmstadt. If we'd say in a position they need, I think, those goals will win your game. So I would probably suggest a striker, but that's easier said than done. Who's going to get you guaranteed Bundesliga goals? Moving on then to our next category, as we're going to start going through a little bit quicker now, as we're on target for some of these teams. So there won't be as much to kind of talk about in a sense. So in there, right off, we've got the likes of Augsburg and Bochum, Mark, two teams who are doing as they need to do, basically. They're currently out of the relegation spots, perhaps more impressively so from FC Augsburg, having really showed some real attacking threat and promise. The latter few months of the, before we went into the winter break, we're really picking up some strong form, and at one point we're up to ninth, eighth position, And some people were starting to think quietly about Augsburg pushing for a European spot. I think that's quite premature, perhaps. But yeah, both teams on target, you say, Mark. Bochum more likely to get dragged into a relegation race, you'd naturally say. But they'll be feeling okay about themselves as long as they can keep that home form strong. They're obviously 6 points away from the relegation playoff spot at the moment. Do you foresee any major issues going into the rest of the season for either team? Naturally, from a goal-scoring point of view, you probably say Bolton more worrying in that sense. But otherwise, both teams are doing as they should.
Yeah, definitely. I think probably a little bit better than expected too, because everyone's been thinking, you know, Bochum are going to go down eventually, but they came on strong as well, the back end of the Hinrunde. I think for Augsburg, yeah, I think Balam already mentioned it. Yeah, it's almost like you've got that magnet drawing them down to 15th. And that's always my worry about them, because it was the same last season. For the first half of the year, you thought they're looking good. They look a decent team, you know, mid-table. But sure enough, that old magnet worked his magic and they just about stayed up with the skin of the teeth in the end.
Yeah.
I think this year the relegation race is generally weaker than last year. I think last year was a very, very strong relegation race. I didn't think any of those teams were like really bad last season. This year there are weaker teams down at the bottom, I think, in general. So they should be okay. But with Augsburg, it is just that case. I think they've been in the Bundesliga for like 12, 13 years now. And I think in at least 11 of them, they've finished in below 14th place. I think below 13th, sorry. Yeah. So it's either been like, but they've never been in the relegation playoff. So it's just an absolute miracle. Like almost every year they finish either 13th, 14th, or 15th. So you've got to think they'll probably finish there again this year, in truth, unless they can get a few like marquee signings in. Although they didn't work out that well for them when they got Pepe that time.
Well, but yeah.
Maybe that the best way for them to really push up is to go out and get like a real top midfielder. You know what I mean? But they should be okay. And I think Bochum is all about the home form. It's always been about the home form. Like they've got a great crowd at home. And they just don't really lose games at home. And it's the same with Augsburg in many ways. Most of their points come at home as well. But I think with Bochum, you really feel as though they're a very, very strong home team. And I don't think either of these teams will finish in the bottom three. But with Augsburg, it's always that worry that you've got that little magnet that is always drawing them down towards that bottom end of the table. So we'll have to see whether, yes, Torup can book the trend and maybe they'll finish 11th or 12th this year.
Yep. Yeah, agreed. Definitely like to see Bochum dip in for another forward, you know, across the front three sort of player. Be interesting to see if Pacienza now gets a long run in the team, because Hoffman hadn't been doing it so far in Augsburg. I think, you know, fullbacks we've often talked about, although they have been improved again in the last few months. So it'd be interesting to see if either team do business. We've also got Freiburg and Frankfurt on target, Mark. And, you know, for Freiburg, you know, it was looking like it was going to be a tricky season. Again, managing expectations is one thing as well. You know, if you base their league position currently versus where obviously they came last season, you say, oh, maybe they're slightly underperforming, but they've still got, seven league wins, three draws. So that's six losses out of the 16 matches. Goal scoring has been a problem for them, but they often built strong seasons on the back of, again, defensive solidity, much like their famous run with Union Berlin last season, which was great to see. So there are improvements that they need to make in those areas. But generally speaking, I think for Freiburg, they'll be secretly okay with where they are, you know, really not far off anything. I mean, they're level on points with Frankfurt, who obviously we've got in the same category. I think we're quite excited to see what Frankfurt could do in the second half of the season, Mark, with naturally they're being linked to a lot of strikers on the market already. And we've seen the return of Sasa Kalajdzic. Also, is excellent to see him back. He could really do damage for Frankfurt, and he's the one position where we talked about all season long, isn't it, from a Frankfurt perspective, you know, let's see a striker who can really command that. If they go out for another one, which they are again being linked to, we could see a real dangerous Frankfurt side. So again, both on target for you, Mark, and well, we'll see where they can both end up, but they'll both be around those European spots, won't they?
Yeah, I think obviously I mentioned to you, Rory, before I was even tempted to go for Frankfurt in the highest category because, as you say, they have an awful transfer window, a truly awful transfer window in summer, and they've got a rookie coach in Dino Topmuller, and a lot of people thought they might drop down towards like mid-table or even potentially the bottom half this year, but as you can see from the table, it's been far from the case. It's been a little bit up and down at times, but they've had that memorable 5-1 win over Bayern, and then they ended the Hinrunde on that brilliant 2 goals in extra time to beat Gladbach, which was another really impressive win too. So, as you say, Sasa Kalajdzic, if he can stay fit, is a massive signing because he is an amazing player, and he was never really given a chance at Wolves, although I believe that the fans held him in high regard from the little they saw of him because he got a few important goals as well. So it's not like he flopped at Wolves. He was just unlucky with injury, basically. And I think the Bundesliga is probably a league that's more suited to him overall. But yeah, looking forward to seeing him back. I think, yeah, that there is a lot of potential. You know, if they can keep Skhiri fit as well, what a player he is. I think he's a fantastic player. The squad in general looks good. Still a few players that are not really hitting the straps yet. Like Larsson has been up and down a little bit, the young Swede. I think Chaibi looks like a great player as well. I'm really looking forward to seeing him more consistent. And in general, it's looking good. Things are looking good for Frankfurt. Yeah, for Freiburg, it's just more of the same, really. They've not been as good performance-wise as what they've been in the past, but it's been very back to the wall in recent weeks. And that great defence has once again come to the fore. I think what they're missing is fullbacks, actually. And in the past, they always got a lot of goals from fullbacks. So the likes of Kubler, you know, getting right up Gunter, but they've not really been on the top form this season for me. And I think that's probably why the number of goals has gone down a little bit. They've only scored 21 from 16, which is a little bit less than what you'd normally expect from Freiburg team. But Grigorovic really ended the season well, the first half of the season. So I think he's going to be a player to look out for to start scoring those goals again for Freiburg.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we just finish off that category, just want to pick up on a question or comment from Ian, obviously our fantastic vlogger who goes around the country relentlessly. Ian has asked, do we think that Mainz can survive in the Bundesliga this season? Well, I mean, obviously, based on what we said a little bit earlier, Ian, we think that performance-wise, Mainz aren't far off. They obviously, from a category sense, we put them lower down because they're well below expectations. With the teams that are around them and the issues that they have, I think you'd probably expect Mainz to minimum get, the relegation playoff spot at worst. But obviously no one is ever too good to go down, so we will see. Thank you for tuning in, Ian, and for your question and great vlog from the weekend as well. Really enjoyed that one. So on target, let's just finish off then. I think in there at the moment, while we've got two big boys, we've got RB and Bayern Munich. Bayern, I think, they've impressed in certain parts of the season, but also it's been quite clear that they're vulnerable in certain senses, definitely defensively, and sometimes there's been a criticism of them slowing or being too slow in their build-up. Obviously there's been lots of rumors around certain players wanting to leave, and there are lots of interesting rumors about players maybe coming into the squad. Obviously we've had Calvin Phillips being linked, but that looks like that might be dead in the water. Next one down the English line is Eric Dier, so that'll be interesting to see him in the Bundesliga. Harry Kane's just going through his Spurs list, I think, saying, you should sign him and him. That'd be interesting to see what impact and influence Kane actually has. Bayern, obviously they're out of the cup, but if we're talking Bundesliga perspective, they've got that game in hand on Leverkusen. if they win, they're only 1 point behind, and they'll be definitely feeling confident that they can haul a 1 point deficit in. And Leipzig, yeah, inside the top four, I've really impressed at times, but again, sometimes I've just been throwing games away and maybe struggling with that inexperience a certain amount and the loss of real key players in the summer. So fair to say, Mark, that they're both on target, certainly not overachieving either of them.
No, not at all. I think for Bayern, normally you'd say 12 wins from 15, which will probably be 13 from 16 if they beat Union. It's a really good turnover, but it's just been Leverkusen's form has been so good. I think Bayern, people are a bit hypercritical about Bayern, especially in Germany, over here in Germany. Like, everyone is just analysing every Bayern Munich performance and how the midfield access worked in every performance. And it's a bit of overkill at times on Bayern Munich. And they're the club that everyone loves to hate, you know what I mean? Like, over here in Germany, it's either you love them or you loathe them. And a lot of people that loathe them, basically, they want to get on the back at any possible opportunity. And I think it's a case of that. I think, yeah, I agree that the build-up has been a bit slow at times, but it's certainly not a crisis for them. I think it's been a good first half of the season. They had that humiliation against Saarbrücken, which, of course, wasn't good enough. But that can happen. For some reason, Bayern in the Pokal in recent years just hasn't worked out at all, has it? So that was a poor loss. Of course, a team like Bayern Munich losing to a third league team, you know, maybe Man United take account tonight. Yeah. But yeah, basically that's just not good enough. It's just pure and simple, not good enough, basically. But I think in general, the Bundesliga performances have been good. There's been highlights, like when they played, Stuttgart just before the Hinrunde ended. That was brilliant. That was a demolition. And I thought the win in the Signal Iduna Park as well against Dortmund was just utter dominance. For me, I would be giving Lima a midfield slot. I still don't understand why Lima, but clearly I think Tuchel doesn't fancy Lima. As a midfielder for some reason, but I would have him in there, no question about that. I would have him in there. I think he's been brilliant, and most of their best work has come when Lima has been in the midfield for me. But clearly Tuchel likes that Kimmich-Goretzka axis. As for RB Leipzig, I think Ian just said, I thought everyone hated it. They do, but for different reasons. They're not a club that people love to hate. It's only hate with RB Leipzig, basically. Like, no, they have a small core of fans in Leipzig, and aside from that, everyone else hates them. They're kind of like the pantomime villain of German football, basically. So, personally, I don't share the hate, really. I really don't share the hate at all. I think there are a new idea and something new into German football. And I don't share the hate at all, but the average German citizen, they absolutely hate RB Leipzig. I'll say that much. But basically, we don't share the hate on this channel, and we respect RB Leipzig. And I think it's a nice idea, you know, the way they have got the funds, obviously, but the way they sign young players and try to build them up into something, I think is a really nice idea. And I do like this kind of structure. It's almost like Football Manager style way of running a club in many ways.
Ian comparing them to MK Dons in England. That's around my part of the world, actually, when I'm back local, and interesting and nice ground at least. Anyway, we'll move on to our final section or category of the evening, which are overachievers. Which there are a few, certainly definitely a couple of teams that we want to pinpoint. And we'll start with the obvious one, shall we, which is obviously Bayer Leverkusen, who top the Bundesliga and have been absolutely faultless, entertained everyone, led so well by Xabi Alonso. The squad is just jam-packed with absolute ballers and talent. It's a squad ready made to win competitions, and this season I expect them to win something. It is, of course, the fact that can they keep going? What is going to make them stumble? How are they going to respond to this? They had a couple of games where they were a little bit fragile. Of course, that first half against Stuttgart, for example, and obviously their draw with Bayern as well. So they will be tested, and of course they'll be tested in the months to come with players away on international duty and international competitions. But I don't think there's much more that we can say about Leverkusen, Mark, without repeating ourselves from last year, really. They might want a bit more depth in centre midfield, perhaps, if a couple of players get injured, I think. But otherwise, I'd consider them stocked, locked and loaded, to be honest.
Yeah, without doubt. Yeah, they're the best team in the league, at least in the first half of the season. But obviously, you mentioned problems for them. The first one is basically the fact that the AFCON is now starting. Yeah. So four key players in their squad, including three first teamers, are going to be missing for the next month. That includes Kosunu and Tapsoba from the defence, and obviously Boniface as well, and then Adli, who's also been called up for Morocco. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a blow. But one thing I absolutely loved about Xabi Alonso is that for the game against Bochum, he basically went with the team that's going to play these four games, which I thought was real bottle. He showed real balls doing that, really. I mean, he went with obviously a back three of Stanisic, Tah and Hincapier, which is going to be the back three for the next 4 to 5 games. And that showed serious bottle to do that because, you know, he had those players available, but he was going out there and saying, basically, you know, this is the team we're going to go with. I place my faith in you to do the job in this game. And of course, he did it in that game, and few were back against him doing it in the next 3 or 4 games as well. I think one of the problems is that two of those games are Leipzig and Bayern, which is a little bit unfortunate in many ways in my eyes. Often it works out like that, football, doesn't it? Like you're missing your best players for the biggest games. But we've got to believe in Xabi and what he can do, and he can finally deliver us a new winner of the Bundesliga. I do believe it's possible. And I think, you know, we've got to believe that they can win these big games even without some key players.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. Moving on, we've also got, well, it'd be impossible not to have my boys in there, isn't it? So VfB Stuttgart, we've got as overachieving based on where they were this time last season and by the end of the last season. You know, many people had them down to struggle again this season. A lot of people thought they wouldn't be relegation favourites or maybe a lower mid-table finish. But yeah, it's been, I don't want to say I'm biased, so maybe I'll throw it over to you, Mark. What does Stuttgart need to do to maintain the levels that they have achieved so far this season?
Yeah, basically just do what they were doing before, basically, because it's been that good. Yeah, I would say probably a little bit more depth. We mentioned that. I think when they played against Leverkusen, you really saw in that second half the difference in quality, what the two teams were bringing on was massively different. But you've got to compare it to the objectives they would have had this season. I mean, nobody thought they'd be going for Champions League, so nobody thought the depth would really be an issue. But even then, there's so many players that have come to the fore in the Stuttgart team. It's not like they have no depth in the team at all. And you know, Undav has just been a revelation. Obviously, we don't even need to mention Gourassi because I think just about all of Europe knows about him nowadays. But, I mean, Dennis Undav, like early on, he didn't get any game time. And then when Gourassi got that little injury, he just basically filled in. He's already got 9 goals himself now, which is just ridiculous, really, crazy. For a secondary striker. I think Furyk has been top draw. Mio is a player I really like. He's been fantastic. But I think you mentioned it before, Rory. I think the Stiller Karatsor is an underrated axis as well. Like, they're not the two names that get much credit, but their engine, especially Stiller for me this season, he's been unbelievable, really. The budget signing from Hoffenheim, and he's just come in and revitalized that midfield. And that's one of the reasons why the attacking players have been able to stand out so much in the Stuttgart team. Yeah, they probably do need a bit of cover from them, probably to keep on to Gourassi as well, let's be honest, because he is being linked here, there and everywhere. As is often the case with Stuttgart, they struggle to hold on to the better players. And we do see mass exodus almost every transfer window from them, don't we? Let's be honest. So hopefully the money is there now. Hopefully they realise that European football can, you know, compensate the losses and that they can keep on to those players for at least 6 more months.
Yeah, let's hope so. You know, any form of Europe at the end of the season would be still absolutely fantastic. Let's see how the next few months go, consistency is going to be key, absolutely, and just responding well to losses, because they will happen, of course. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what is in store for VfB this Rook Runde. And finally, the last two teams that we have in there, well, one might not be a very popular one, so we'll start with them to make sure we don't end on a sour note. We've got Hoffenheim in there, Mark, and this might be more of Hoffenheim maybe being more on target, perhaps, because we're kind of basing this off of where Hoffenheim were last season, but maybe that was a bit of a false position, obviously, before Pellegrino Matarazzo came in and steadied the ship. They started the season really impressively, though, didn't they? And they were overachieving in that sense. They have now kind of been grounded a little bit more. They did finish off the Christmas break with a couple of decent wins. So, I mean, Hoffenheim, their objectives are going to be Europe, I think it's fair to say. But, well, maybe the lower European competitions. They certainly won't be in planning for top four, which I don't think they will get. So are we fair calling Hoffenheim overachievers, or do you think we'll get shouted down for this by people not supporting the Hoffenheimers?
Yeah, obviously they're another club that are not particularly the most popular in Germany. Again, I can sort of see it because they don't fill out the ground most of the games, and they don't have many fans in general. And Germany, the fan culture is so important for Germany, really. Like, the people just live and breathe it. Like, also in other countries that also do, but you have to go to a German football game to really understand just the level of passion and the whole ultra culture and things like that. And I think Hoffenheim don't really fit in with that. You know, the ground, similar to Wolfsburg, they're probably the only two teams in the Bundesliga that don't sell out the grounds, basically. Yeah. Wolfsburg and Hoffenheim. Every other team, it's packed out every week. But, yeah, they're not popular. But basically, on the pitch, they've been doing well this season. As you say, they've made a good recovery. Although, I think the first half of the season was a lot more impressive than the second half.
Yeah,
I think they've stopped scoring as many goals as what they were doing early doors, although they've still got 32 goals from 16 games, which is really good. Yeah, they need a bit more consistency, and I think Pellegrino Matarazzo needs to lay off his players a little bit too. Like, they've been good overall, but he criticises them quite a lot when they don't do exactly what he says and things. He's one of these very, very picky managers who a player can be amazing, get two assists and a goal, and basically if they don't follow his instructions, he criticises the player, basically. He's one of those kind of managers. But I think he needs to lay off them a little bit. I think Brooks has been really poor, to be honest. Yeah. Like, as much as I love Josh Anthony Brooks, and I know Peter is like, I worships him, but he's just been really poor this season. I can't remember who it was against. I think it was against Frankfurt, but that was one of the worst individual performances I've ever seen from a player in that game. Like, I think it was Frankfurt earlier in the season. I think he made about three or four individual errors in that game, which all led to goals. So, yeah, the defense needs to work a bit harder. But they're on target. I think sixth, seventh would be a decent season. Will it be a good season for them? Absolutely. Yeah. There's no question.
Maybe a last-minute late retrospective change of Hoffenheim into our on-target section. But our final team are definitely overachieving, because Heidenheim have been absolutely delightful to watch this season. Their Bundesliga debut, we've been so blessed to enjoy many entertaining matches that they've been a part of. Going forward, they've shown real goal-scoring threat, the real danger from set pieces. They're a danger to themselves from their own set pieces, from a defensive point of view, but they've just embraced Bundesliga culture in terms of the attack, worry about the, we'll score more goals than you sort of, ethic, if you want to say. And Mark, you're absolutely in love with our man Bester, who we really hope stays with Heidenheim. But just a quick final word on our definite overachievers so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say? It's been a great story. Nobody dislikes them. They've just been fantastic. Obviously, Frank Schmidt is another character. We don't talk about him as much as we probably should do, really, because, you know, he's been, what, the manager since 2006, seven? It's just absolutely insane. You know what I mean? And he just keeps delivering the goods. He's also a good tactician as well, Schmidt. And he knows how – he's not like a Guardiola type, but he knows like how he picks out teams' weaknesses and he always targets them. And you know, the way they've been off set plays has been ridiculous at times this season. You know, the fact they finished the Hin Runder on three wins was amazing to see, because before that we would have said they were really good performance wise, but they weren't quite getting the wins. But those three wins have plummeted them up to, sorry, they've skyrocketed them up to the top half, and now it looks very, very good. And as you say, so many characters in that squad, even Minor, you know, who came good towards the end of the Vester has just been unbelievable. They're talking about 20 million for him as well at some point, which would just be insane for a club like Heidenheim. I just think Kleindienst has been good as well. Dingchi, yeah. Pieringer, Maloney. Yeah. It's been a superb effort, and hopefully they can keep it going. But at the end of the day, if they finish 15th, it's still been a good season for them.
Spot on. Just as we creep over the hour mark, I think it's just a nice place to finish up for this evening. Thank you to everyone that's tuned in. Whilst we've been live, loads of nice comments and chat, which is great to see. Obviously, we're really excited to be back doing content in 2024. So, as mentioned, if you can give us a thumbs up, first show of the year, and there'll be many more to come. Drop a comment in the comment section if you care to on YouTube and subscribe, of course. Please do leave a rating and a review when you're listening to us on your podcasts, whenever you so choose. So to you, Mark, to do final snippets for tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you enjoyed what you saw tonight, check out our Twitter at Over the Bar FB and at Over the Bar Extra. Also follow Rory on at Village Footy 20. And keep on liking and commenting and subscribing, and keep following our content so we can bring more and more for you. Great to see Ian checking in as well. Don't forget to check out his vlogs, which are always fantastic as well. Always lower league football vlogs, which is a lot of you guys might not be able to see on other channels as well. So keep checking that out. And let's hope that Wigan can bring on the victory tonight to make up for Nuremberg's loss against Stuttgart last year. So, thanks, guys. And we'll join you again on Thursday for the predictions. See you then, guys.
Cheers, all.